Church. We thank you for each person that was able to show up tonight. Those that may be watching online, we just ask that you bless each and every person. Guide, lead, and direct every one of us in thy will, in the direction that you would have us to go. And Lord, we give thee all the honor and glory for anything that we do in our life that is pleasing to thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought about that prayer right there. We give God all the honor and glory for anything we do that is pleasing to him. We take credit for the rest, by the way. Gary didn't know what my message is, but my message is God has made you perfect. And if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 3. But the first song we read, we sang, was Blessed Assurance. In the second stanza, the first words are perfect submission, perfect delight. And then the third one is also perfect submission, all is at rest. So God has made you perfect. Now, you may not feel like God's made you perfect, but he has. And perfect is not sinless. Perfect is, many times, it means complete, but it means finished, complete, fully informed. It can mean that. It implies full development, complete, you know, perfect. Growth into maturity of godliness. It does not mean sinless perfection. So when you're, and I'm going to prove this to you, but I'm going to give you a problem first. We're in verse 15 of Philippians chapter 3, and it says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, I'll tell you, when I was getting back into the study again today, when I got home, I did a whole nother sermon. And it was on thus minded, you know, being, and it's just amazing. Because it says there, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if you're otherwise minded, he'll let you know." I was like, yeah, I got to go over that. Well, then I just found out that I've got Sunday morning sermon already. So that is pretty neat, you know, when you just, I mean, it was just, there it is. So that's cool. I like every now and then to have God do it in an easy way for me. But tonight, we're talking about perfect. Now, look at what the verse says. "Let us therefore as many as be perfect." That says you can be perfect, right? But again, it's not sinless perfection. But now go back to verse 12, and it basically says you can't be perfect. So look at verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." So verse 12 and verse 15 look like they contradict each other, but they don't. Because you're a Bible believer, you believe the Bible. I hope you believe the Bible. I hope you don't look at the Bible and say, well, it says that in verse 12, it says that in verse 15, and boy, those translators sure could have done a better job. In three verses, they messed up. That's not the case. What we have to do is we have to learn what perfect means and allow the Bible to define perfection and perfect. So if you look at, they're going to run quite a few references. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let it be the first one that we go to. In Matthew chapter 5, look at, verse 48. The Bible says, "Be therefore perfect." So it's a choice. "Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So you can't be like God. I mean, not sinless. Therefore, it doesn't mean sinless perfection. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 31. The Bible says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected, completed in the resurrection." So again, you just have to be careful that you don't try to make the Bible say what you think it says and mean what you think it means, because the Bible very often will cause you to be tripped up in those things. And listen, it happens all the time. I think I told you the story about studying out the old man, new man. So it talks about the old man, new man. And if you study it out, it's a pretty neat study. But one time when it says old man or new man, whichever one it is, it has nothing to do with the old man, new man. It's a whole different context. So I was trying to force every verse into this understanding that I had about our old man and our new man, and one of them didn't work. Well, I wanted to know why it didn't work. So I asked the preacher, I said, well, how come this one doesn't work? And he says, the context determines the meaning. It has nothing to do with what you're studying. Simple as that. So perfect is the same thing. You look at verse 12 and it says, you know, either we aren't already perfect. You look at verse 15 and it says, as many as be perfect. So again, we'll look at another verse, or well, we'll look at quite a few, but let's see where we want to go. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And again, this is Bible study. This is why we're here tonight. We want to know how to study our Bible, how to understand our Bible, how to help other people understand their Bible. One of the things that I'm very fortunate with is I have studied it a long time. I will never reach perfection in my study, meaning I will never have conquered or mastered the Bible. You know how I know that? Because nobody ever has, except for Jesus. Of course, He's the Word. But nobody else ever has. In 1 John, look at chapter 2, verse 5. But whosoever keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him, and He that and it goes on. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, made complete. You want to have the love of God perfected in your life. Keep His word. Simple as that. You know why a lot of people struggle in life? Because they do not keep His word. And therefore, the love of God is not perfected. Do you know what happens when the love of God's perfected in your life? You start changing. I'm not who I was. Now look, if you came up to me and you did something and I was right and you were wrong, in the past, I'd let you know a little quicker. Now I look at it and I go, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm right and they're wrong. They have a perspective that they're looking at. And I need to try to understand their perspective. I need to try to understand them. I need to try to help them. I need to get my pride out of the way and not think, well, wait a minute, who are you to question me? You see, you can't do that. Well, that's the way most of us are in our lives until the love of God is perfected in our lives. And as that, and listen, I haven't arrived. It's not like, well, I got nothing else I got to fix. Well, you all know better than that. Maybe you don't. Well, I wanted to finish this a little bit because I was going to make a point that maybe you don't. Maybe you all think I am perfected already. Of course you don't. And you aren't either. But let me tell you something. If you are not maturing, you say, well, I've been saved 50 years. You better be maturing until the day you die. Now, I get it. You can get, you know, sick and you can have stuff come in your life that mentally you're not, you have to deal with. I mean, I get that. I don't want to discount that reality. But if you are of sound mind and body, you ought to ever be perfecting the love of God. So look at another verse. And again, in 1 John, look at chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know, some people look at that and go, well, if you don't love God, He doesn't dwell in you. It's not what it says. If you love one another, His love's perfected in us, and it's done because God dwelleth in you. It isn't saying, if we love one another, then now God dwells in you. Now, let me tell you, there's dwelling and dwelling. He can be in you and not really be dwelling there. In the sense of, you are not submitted to Him. You are not what you ought to be. Now look, preaching and teaching is about changing you. That's what it's all about. If you aren't maturing, there's a problem with you. I hope to be ever maturing in my life. You see, in the past, I could hold a grudge. I was good at holding a grudge. I was better than most. I wasn't proud about it. I was if I was right and you were wrong, I'm sorry. I'll stand my ground, and if you don't come over to me and you don't handle it right, then talk to the hand. Isn't that what they say now? Talk to the hand. But look at this thing on the love of God. Again, there in verse 12, we just read it. Chapter 4, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You want His love perfected in you? Then you've got to learn how to get all of that completed in you. I want to continue to mature. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to be next year what I was this year. And you say, well, you're a pastor. You ought to have already arrived. Right? Isn't that how some people treat pastors? You ought to have it all fixed, all right. Well, listen, I don't. And I won't. Now, I will tell you this. You know, we're going out of town on Monday. I want to take her to Branson, Missouri, because I heard all about it. And got a free hotel room up there. She doesn't know that yet. It was free. And so we're going to go up there. And she says, have you looked at it? I said, yeah, I spent an hour looking at stuff. I said, but I have no clue. There's so much to do up there. I don't know. Maybe we'll just get there and figure it out. Who knows? But I'll tell you what I truly want. I'd like to give her a little bit of time off. When I go a lot of different places, people say, where's Judy? I said, look, I don't drag her around everything I do. But I am going to drag her next week to Missouri. And by the way, we looked at the weather. I thought, how can Missouri have nice weather at this time of the year? It's got to be getting cold, right? Mm-mm. 70s? Mid-70s. It gets cooler at night, I think. So anyway, just pray for Judy. She'll have a good time. You can pray for me too. I would like to have a good time and just take some time off. Now, I will work up there because I've got things, responsibilities. I haven't written my articles. I'll tell you what, pray that I can write at least two articles before Monday, and then I will not write while I'm up there. Because like I said, that's the most pressured thing that I have because there's a deadline on it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is critical to get in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, jump into verse, why does this not look right? Oh. I'm in the wrong chapter, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God, the Scripture is given for that. It's given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Here's why. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Scripture's for. That's what preaching is for. It's so that the man of God, woman of God, child of God, can be truly, not thoroughly, and there's a difference we won't go into tonight, but truly furnished unto all good works. You know what happens if you're furnished unto all good works? You can do something for God. And you just have to figure out what it is. I tell people all the time, look, your purpose in life is not my purpose in life. And I do not presume to tell people what God's purpose is for them, other than God is not willing any should perish. God's purpose is you get saved. And then that you live for Him and you do the things that He asks you to do. Now look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Talking about the will of God here in Romans chapter 12, we want to look at verse 1 when I get there. Verse 1, what's the Bible say? After I get there again, there we go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll tell you what, I want to know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to be transformed. I want my mind renewed. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by saturating it with the Word of God, saturating it with good thoughts. Do you know what, bad thoughts will do to you? They will put a cloud over you. They will bring the worst out of you. And then you will infect everybody around you. I'll tell you, I just don't choose to stay long around people that are negative, negative, negative. It's just not healthy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hey, you need to cleanse yourself from all filthiness, and then of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look at another one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 7 talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Let's just start there. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. So the concern that Paul understood was he had an abundance of the revelation. So he knew a lot of things that nobody else had ever seen. He had mysteries given to him that were mysteries prior to him writing the Scripture and revealing them. So he had the abundance of the revelations. There, because of that, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So because of that, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure. I've got to be honest with you, you know, would you want to have that thorn in the flesh if you knew that you were going to be exalted above measure and you knew that it was going to destroy you? Would you be willing to have something in your life to keep you humble? I mean, he prayed that the Lord would take it away. Here, and listen, it's okay to pray that God takes something away from you until you realize that that very thing is the thing that God is using in your life in a way that you didn't understand, and now you understand. Once you understand, number one, it becomes easier. But two, what it does is it enables you to be used of God and acceptable of accepting of His will more. So let's look at this. Go on to verse 8. For this thing, this thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Nothing wrong with that. And He, God, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, look, I've heard from God. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect. Perfect. That's what we're looking at, right? God's strength in your life is made perfect in weakness, not in strength. So if you start thinking you got everything handled, and you start thinking that you know more than you really know, then you might have a rude awakening coming. I don't want that to happen to me. I always want to be conscious of the fact that I am always growing, always maturing, always seeking to know God better than I did the day before. And I want to keep that attitude. I literally beg you to make sure that is your attitude every single day. If it's not, what'll happen is you will find out that you are robbing God of something that He wants in your life to bring you to an understanding of who and what He is. I mean, listen, we talk about knowing God, knowing God, knowing God, and the Bible talks about that a lot. Do you know God? First of all, you know Him in salvation. Secondly, do you know how He works in your life? I have learned, okay, I've been saved 42 years. Some of you have been saved longer than I have. I have learned how God works in my life at times. How did I get that? I stayed in tune. The more I stayed in tune with how God works, the more I learned God. And the more that I learned God, the happier I became, the more joy that I have, the more peace I have. Let's look at another verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we're looking at this perfecting. I mean, listen, we're not even exhausting the subject in this thing. Ephesians chapter 4, look at 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did He give apostles and prophets to the early church, evangelists, pastors, and teachers today? Why did He do that? For. Remember, for can mean because. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do you have a pastor? For the perfecting of the saints. So again, are you being perfected? If you know, God has made you perfect in His eyes through Jesus Christ. That is a positional perfection. But do you have a practical perfection? And that's what this is talking here. For the perfecting of the saints. Listen, just think about it. Why are you here tonight? You ought to be here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long will this go on? I mean, do you finally reach it when you reach 60 years old? That would mean I got it. Do you get it at 70? Do you get it at 80? No. It is always. Look at the next verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at that. And then it even goes on. Look at 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And I could go through the whole chapter. But I just want to point some things out. First of all, you ought not be tossed to and fro. So somebody comes in and says there's an error in the Bible. That ought to toss nobody in this church. Okay? They come up and they go, well, look at this. It says you're perfect. It says here you're not perfect. There's an error in the Bible. You ought to look at them and just smile. Yeah, whatever. Or you could say, I personally don't believe there's any errors in the Bible. I believe God preserved His Word in every generation. And I believe when I look at this, I do not find that as an error. And here's why we study our Bible. So that not only can you say that, but you can say it with conviction. And then you can also maybe take it a little step further and go, let me show you the answer to that. Do you know what perfect means? Do you know that there's a positional perfection and then there's a practical perfection? And the positional perfection is done. You are perfect in the eyes of God. Your soul. But boy, that flesh tossed to and fro. Why are we told to speak the truth in love? Because frequently we don't. Why are we told it's for growing up? Because sometimes we stagnate. Don't stagnate. If you're not growing and you're stagnant, you're out of the will of God. So what is it all about? It's continuing to grow, continuing to grow, continuing to mature. I tell you this again, you ought to see a difference in you every year. Now what will set you back? Sin. Being around the wrong people. Listen, I've told people, and I'll tell you again and again and again, you get around somebody that is not saved, you have to be careful, because you may think, well, I'm going to reach them for Jesus. Good. Great call. But what happens whenever they infect you? By the way, a sinner can infect a saint in a very negative way faster than a saint can infect a sinner. And what I mean is a lost and a saved person there. We're all saints in Christ Jesus if we're saved, and sinners are unforgiven. You know, we're all sinners too, but I'm contrasting that. So just be careful of it. Sometimes we can have the best of intentions, but you will find out that you can more easily be brought down by somebody that isn't living for the Lord. All right, look at another one. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it's pretty cool. I'm coming in for a landing. Who knows? We might land this plane fast. It was funny. I was listening to the preacher on Sunday night, and he said, well, there's no clock. You know, and he didn't have a watch or anything. He says, well, I'm wrapping it up. And I guess I've said that a few times. And I hope you guys didn't counter anything. The funny thing is, I watched when I got, Arlene got me in, and then I watched like the end, so I heard him say it. And then I was working out, so I wanted to watch the whole thing again. So I watched the whole thing from the beginning through the end. And it was funny because I knew everything he was going to say, so it was just funny knowing in advance when I got to that point that I hadn't lost my mind completely, I think is what I'm trying to say too. But it was funny, he was coming for a landing. So I think I'm coming in for a landing in two more verses. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to perfect that which was lacking in their faith. By the way, when you look at your faith here in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, I always thought this was really cool. Look at verse 2 at the end of it. Establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction distress by your faith. And then he goes back and he says, night and day praying in verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Perfect it. You know what I want to do for people? I want to help perfect your faith. That should be the goal of all of us. Do you know what sometimes happens, though? Instead of perfecting, making complete, or helping, or developing people's faith, we have a tendency at times to hurt people's faith. Do you know if people look at you and they say, you know, so-and-so, boy, they're a good Christian, and then all of a sudden, you're not, you're going to hurt people's faith. And you say, well, they shouldn't be looking at me like that. Oh, yeah, I mean, reality's reality. I promise you there are people watching you. And they're watching you. What do they see? Do they see a perfection of your faith? Do you come to church and have your faith more perfected? Because if you don't, either there's a problem here, or there's a problem there, or both. You know why I teach the Bible and I don't stand up here and just tell you a bunch of stories? Because my stories, and listen, I've heard them, I've watched them, I've analyzed them, and saying, okay, this is a real popular guy. What's he doing? And I listen to the story and I go, man, I don't want to do that. It's okay to incorporate a couple of stories in what you're doing or application, but you don't want the whole thing to be about me. I don't want the whole thing to be about me. And listen, that's not what preaching is. Preaching is what? Teaching. Preaching is for the perfecting of the saints. That's what it's all about. One more passage. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse, we already did this one, 17. Well, we already did it, so let's do it again. Somebody needed it twice. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what we need. We need each one of us to be truly furnished unto all good works, perfected. The greatest thing as a minister of the gospel is to watch people mature in Christ. As a pastor, you sometimes hear things, you know, Facebook is not a great thing, although I don't really see anything in this church that's a problem. But in a lot of churches, the worst thing is for a pastor to be engaged in Facebook, because he sees things and he takes it personal and says, boy, I failed. Boy, I, you know, here's somebody that's raised in the church, and then all of a sudden they look like the world. Now, I have somebody that just came to mind. He knew the family long time, and he sent me a friend request, and you know, so I accepted it. And boy, it's really discouraging what you see. Good family, great family. And you say, well, how does that happen? Because everybody has their own free will. I'll talk to younger people now. You have the will to do right and to follow the example set before you, meaning parents have you in church. When you get older, you will make that decision whether to go to church or not go to church. Okay? If you decide, well, I don't need to go to church, or I'm going to go where, you know, I'm going to go to a, you know, a rock and roll church. And listen, I've been to them 3 or 4 times. I told you one story where somebody wanted me to go. I went. I got finished and I smiled. They said, thank you for going with me. I said, yes. Didn't say a word. 3 weeks later, they were curious because I'm not, at that time, I was even less, remember, I'm maturing all the time. So they were looking at the less mature me and wondering, well, why hasn't he responded and told me what he thinks? Because I was learning that responding and saying what I think is not the best thing sometimes. But they asked me then, what'd you think of? I said, I don't even consider it church. And they stopped going to church for a whole year. They stopped going. Were they even going to church? They stopped going anywhere for a year. But after a year out of church, they realized they were a whole lot better in their upbringing than they were in that thing that they went to. And so look, I'm just telling you, so I can second guess my comments. I can go, well, it'd be better if they were somewhere. Not necessarily. Because let me tell you what happens. If you go to one of those places, and it's not really church, it soothes your conscience. Okay, so here's the scenario. Okay, I was raised to go to church. I need to go somewhere, and I need to punch my card. Boy, I like the rock and roll. I like the this. I like that. And so I'm going, And the devil says, see, you're all right. But boy, when you get out then, and you're not going anywhere, but you're starting to, then what happened was started listening to preaching online. And as that preaching affected them, then they got right with God. But had they just stayed going what they were doing, I believe that they would have had ointment on their conscience and probably stayed in error for a lot longer. So just keep that in mind. And listen, I remember when I was here and I asked the pastor to go visit with me. This was David Cosma. Back in 1981, this church, he went and visited somebody with me because I couldn't, I was a new Christian. I needed somebody to go talk to him. Well, he goes in and this guy is there were mega churches back then so much, but he believed in the gifts more than we do, more than the Bible teaches. So David Cosma went in there and he showed him that it was wrong. And that guy just quit on God. And I knew he quit on God. And you got to understand, that affected me 42 years ago. I remember wondering, did we hurt that guy? And then I go forward 30 years, and I have that situation I told you about a moment ago. I don't know. I mean, you just have to understand. You have to be led of God. Speak the truth in love. Let God handle it. And you can't beat yourself up. You can't beat yourself up, parents, for the way you raised your kids. If you raised them right, and you did the best you can do, and you say, "Well, no, I maybe I didn't do this right." Welcome to reality. There are a lot of things I didn't do right. But you know what you got to do? You got to leave it up to God. Leave it up to God. Leave it up to God. And if you start beating yourself up, you will be a miserable person. Let's all stand together. I landed before 8 o'clock. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct. During this moment of invitation, just pray you have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name.